Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The good news is I have found my fishing hole. The bad news, I have no idea where I parked my car. This is Wretched Radio, and this is why you need to go on a reconnaissance mission to find yourself a fishing hole. You need to find a university campus. You need to find another place where you, downtown, the place where business people stop and do lunch, where they can sit and talk, something. But you need to go out on a mission and do a little look around. Do people look like they're willing to talk to you? Do people look like they're willing to stop? Do they have the time? Will I get arrested? You know, stuff like that. You should go figure out where you can have your own fishing hole. Now, just, you think going out into a university campus, Todd, maybe that works for you, but not for me. Okay, that's okay. You don't have to come here. But where could you go? For instance, do you like elderly people? Can you still call them that these days, or will I get arrested for that? Will they call me an ageist for that? Do you like old people? Why don't you go to the nursing home and see what you could do there as a volunteer? And not just feeding people or cleaning people or helping people roll down the hallway, but maybe, could I read to people? Are there people here who would love to have the Bible read to them? And you would just get in there, and you're going to be shocked at what you might get thrown into. Be purposeful about it. Be intentional. Find a place where this works for me. I like, it's not that it's not hard some days, but I like going there and doing that. Nursing homes, the mall. Where do you feel like this, yeah, this works for me? Maybe it's neighborhood. Okay. Here's the deal. You are a great baker, but you hate the idea of talking to people. All right? Now, you gotta, at some point, we're gonna have to push through that and actually start witnessing to people and talking to people, because we are all commanded to do that. But to get you started and maybe to get a ministry going, how's about if you, once a week, bake yourself a pie and bring it to a next-door neighbor with a gospel tract, or better yet, a handwritten letter. Dear neighbor, in the past I haven't been too neighborly, but I want to change that. I hope you'll enjoy this pie. By the way, I need to let you know, too, what inspired me baking a pie for you today. It's because I'm a Christian. Whatever. You work on the letter yourself. Could you do that? Could that be your fishing hole? Could that be your ministry in your neighborhood? Could you start a Bible study in your neighborhood? You have got to figure out a fishing hole for yourself. You have got to get yourself a ministry, something that you are doing to be intentional about witnessing to people. Now, don't get me wrong. It is great to be out and about and talking to people as you go, which we should be. But I want to challenge you to do something extra. Figure out what's comfortable for you and get out there and do it. Now, I'm going to start doing that. It looks like there... Oh, yeah. All right, we got to check this out. This could be a complete bust. But whenever I see kids, oh, that word, on campuses, setting up tables trying to do something, well, then I want to see what they're up to. Okay. There's something about hey, guys. What are you trying to promote? Invisible Children. What's that about?
It's basically this organization which helps build schools for like children in Uganda.
And why are you motivated to do this? What's driving you as a human being to do this kind act?
I just feel it's wrong. It's against my
morals. Why do you feel? What are your morals?
Like, make sure that everyone gets an equal opportunity to get everything, whatever they want, get a free education, get a good life, get a good family life.
Okay, dude. What's your first name?
Siddharth.
Okay, Siddharth. I'm asking you kind of a philosophical question. How do you know that those things are right and good? Where did you pick this up? How do you know that it's bad for kids to be abused and to be neglected and to not have an education? How do you know that?
From history, past life. I mean, I guess...
Your past life?
Not my past life, but through history. History tells us basically what mankind did wrong and...
But I'm going deeper than that. How do you know that that's wrong? How does mankind know that that is wrong?
Because, well, you have Hitler.
Why is what Hitler did bad?
Because it resulted in bad consequences. He didn't know that yet, but...
How do you know they're bad consequences?
Well, everyone hates Hitler.
Okay. So we rule morality by majority poll?
Kind of.
Okay, I'm gonna do a little role play. I think what Hitler did was good. Why would I be wrong?
You wouldn't.
I wouldn't?
No.
You just said what he did was bad.
Well, I feel so. I mean, it just depends on everyone else's morals. I mean, you could feel this is wrong, too, but I can't say anything against that.
Why not?
Because it's... Well, you wouldn't
have stopped Hitler?
I can't do anything by one person. I'm just one person. I can't really do anything.
Well, actually, you are trying to do something, but if Hitler were a... You wouldn't try to do anything to stop him because you thought that that was horrible?
Well, it is horrible because he's trying to, like... take someone's life, which he has no right to, you know?
Actually, it sounds kind of evolutionary to me.
Okay.
Do you believe in evolution?
Kind of. I don't know.
So evolution, I think, means that the strong survive, the weak die away. That's what he was all about. So I say, thumbs up, it was good. You can't disagree with that, right?
No, I can't. But, I mean, you can't really use that for everything. You sometimes have to think about it in terms of... You can't think about everything practically, you know what I mean?
How am I supposed to think about it?
I mean, you have to think about it in the other person's perspective as well. You can't just go evolution, you know, survival of the fittest all the time. You just have to go with the flow, basically. It just depends on every situation,
situational ethics.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's okay to kill somebody, but other times it's not.
It's not okay to kill anybody because you don't have the right to do that.
Why not? I thought you said I had to go by the situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, even then, killing someone is just going against my morals.
All right. Yeah. But my morals say it's good to kill people, so now what do we do?
Okay, it's your morals.
Don't you think that life would be kind of chaotic?
Exactly. See, I proved my point.
All right, dude. See ya. Thanks very much. Although, I'm not sure what the point was exactly. All right, what is this talk? Hey, somebody who's willing to tell me what this deal is all about? Anybody? What are you here to do? What is it? It doesn't matter. Just be safe. Uh-oh, I think I know what this might be. Okay, I know. It's a Democrat something, right?
Georgia Tech Democrats.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're giving away condoms.
Lovely.
Safe sex.
All right. I've got to ask the question. If I have to do something to protect myself from that act, it seems to me implicit in that is that the act, there's something dangerous about it.
Do you have a car?
Do I drive a car? Yes, sir.
Do you wear a seatbelt?
Yes, I do.
Well, you can get in an accident when you're driving a car.
Right.
You wear a
seatbelt. Yeah, see, then so that means... But see, where we're going here is that the consequence, the accident, is a bad thing. So what you're saying then is getting pregnant is a bad thing.
When you don't want to.
Is that right?
When you don't want to.
Okay, so determining whether or not pregnancy is good is basically based then on my mindset. Is that correct?
Yes.
Where then do you put the piece of information that what's going on inside the woman's tummy could be a human being? In fact, science says it's a human being. Okay, that's a human being inside of a woman's tummy. But what you just said to me is because the woman decides that it's not a good idea, it's an accident, therefore she can discard the human being. Is that correct?
It depends on what point that biologically is advanced.
All right. Well, I'll ask you. I know what science says. All right. Science says a conception. What do you say?
I'm not answering that. Yeah, I'm not answering that.
You don't think that science says that a conception, it's
no,
life?
I don't see the point of the question.
I'm sorry?
It's purely religious.
What is purely religious? What's inside of a woman?
No. When a human life begins.
When human life begins. Actually, no. Medical science says human life is fully, it's called totipotent. When the sperm and the egg join together immediately, everything for human life is present. Everything.
So you believe that an embryo is a human being?
What do you think it is?
I don't think it's a human being.
Well, what do you think
it is? It's the beginnings of a human being, but it's not a
human
being.
So it's a smaller human being.
It's a clump of cells.
Okay, because I'm bigger than you. Does that mean I get to kill you?
If you want to, but you have to.
Dude, come on. Come on.
I've ever heard.
No, actually, I think it's actually pretty reasonable, dude. Here's why I think that. Your argument that we just established here is that it's we can have an abortion or do away with it because it's smaller, correct? So your argument is
no,
it's smaller,
no.
Therefore we can kill it.
No, that's not the argument.
Okay, what is the argument?
No, The argument is that it is not a viable human being.
So viability is the issue.
Yeah, if you were to...
Okay, hold on a second. So it needs something to sustain its life. Is that what you're saying?
What kind of question is that? Honestly, I mean, what doesn't need something to sustain its life?
Exactly. Right, exactly. So why would you kill
something?
Okay,
so the question is... All right, so... Well, I mean, but let's do an extrapolation of your argument.
All right.
By your argument, if three cells together can't be killed because it's life, then why is it okay to kill bacteria?
Because they're not human beings.
Well, why are human beings more important than any other animal?
Why? Well, I think, first of all, it's obvious. Keeping religion out of it, look around. You don't think you're more important than that tree?
No, I think I am, but your argument seems to indicate
that humans are more important. Yes, sir.
Your argument is that... Okay, well, I mean, from your framework, yes, you're arguing that embryos are human beings. And so...
And dependent on something to live, like you are, like somebody in an incubator.
Like bacteria is. I mean, that's an irrelevant argument.
Well, if you want to say that a human being is like a bacteria, okay. I happen to think that they're a little bit different.
You know, 33% lettuce.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate the chat. We are out at the university campus. It isn't hard to test the theories, is it? This is Wretched Radio.
Another day and another Wretched Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. And we want you to know that we always value and appreciate you and the time you spend listening to Wretched. We also want to point you in the direction of our latest resource, our new Bible study curriculums. They're interesting, relevant, and of course, biblical. Our new curriculums are derived from our resources, Drive by Marriage, Drive by Theology, Drive by Parenting, Stressed Out, and Jesus Unmasked. You can check out the entire slate of Wretched curriculums at wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. And hey, while you're there at our website, make sure to take a look at our donate page and prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner. Wretched relies on the kindness and generosity of God's people just like you to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. And you can know that Wretched will honor your generous gifts with faithful stewardship and full accountability. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
No doubt you have heard one of the dire predictions of the effects of coronavirus shutdowns in Eastern Europe and poor nations around the globe. Unfortunately, those predictions, they're a reality.
Even before the coronavirus storm, life was hard for the kids and families that Tomorrow Club serve. We work in forsaken communities where unemployment is high, wages are low, and alcoholism is rampant.
And it is even worse now in all of the Eastern European countries. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's day after day, bringing the gospel to kids in poor Eastern European villages to bring hope and help. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? Perhaps now more than ever. $30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 little kids in Eastern Europe. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Like a lot of believers, you may be wondering how you can incorporate heartfelt worship into your private devotion times. Well, I want to introduce you to the newest resource available in the Wretched Store. It's called Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures for Intimate Worship, and it's by Dr. Kenneth Boa. Face to Face is perfect for anybody who wants to get more personal and more intimate in their private times with the Lord. And what better way to do that than actually praying God's Word back to Him? Face to Face will walk you through an accurate and biblical and intimate approach to doing just that. With prayers like, "Let me hear your unfailing love in the morning, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul." Prayers like these will bring richness to your devotion times by connecting God's Word to your personal prayer time, and you'll learn to approach both in a new and meaningful way. Visit wretched.org/face to pick up your copy right now. wretched.org/face.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously, knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
ebb and flow. I'm learning all about ebb and flow. No, they're not cartoon characters from the 70s. It's all about traffic when you go witnessing. This is Wretched Radio. Today, out on the streets on a reconnaissance tour. I think that's what you would call this. Out on a university campus. I've been trying to keep it disclosed, but I think the guy outed me in the last segment there where I happen to be. So I am trying to learn, how does this place, my new fishing hole, or at least potential fishing hole, work? And what I'm watching is the ebb and flow. I must be between classes right now. Must be. Because, yeah, there's some kids wandering around, but it's plenty easy to walk up to somebody and start a witness encounter with them. But then there's other times when there's just a ton of kids walking in groups, and you can actually witness to a whole group of them and get them stopped. Or if you were trying to gather a crowd for open air stuff, then that would be the time to do it. So I'm trying to figure out how this place works, what the vibe is, because I want to be comfortable when I come here. I want to not have the heebie-jeebies. All right, so the fellow that I want to talk to is smoking a cigarette, but that has nothing to do with this. And he's sitting here studying something. Dude, can I talk to you on the radio for a second?
Absolutely.
What's your name, young man?
I'm Bob Hayes.
Bob, nice to meet you. What are you studying?
Chemistry.
Ooh.
It's all right.
You're one of those guys.
Yeah, doing my best.
You got a different brain than I do.
Well, everybody's got something
okay,
they're good at, right?
I'll prove it to you. What side of the brain do you have? You've got like a dominant side of your brain that allows you to use numbers. Right?
I hope so.
By the way, have you ever heard of that left brain, right brain?
Absolutely.
Yeah, which one do you have?
I would say right.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
I don't know
either. Because I've got... Oh, you don't? Because usually you guys who are into chemistry, you know
it.
Which side of the brain works, because you're smarter than I am. All right.
Not now, necessarily.
Dude, I got something here. I'm not into this. I just found this. It's 1 month to live challenge. It asks the question, how would you live your life differently if you had 1 month to live? Which you might if you keep smoking those heaters. That's just an aside. Okay. What would, if you knew that you had a month to live, what would you start doing or stop doing?
I don't know if I'd continue my trek here at Georgia Tech.
You'd be all done.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You'd go do something more fun.
Absolutely.
And what is fun to you?
I like to ski and hike, so I'd probably go to the mountains and do a whole lot more of that.
See, that's the whole idea. Look at this guy skiing inside of the little booklet there.
I see that.
That's living a fun life.
That's me right there.
That's you, baby. So if you had 30 days and wanted to really live a fulfilled life, you'd go do fun stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay, what about family?
I'd want to spend some time with them.
Okay. What about spiritual stuff? Would you want to clean up your act, make sure that you're ready to go?
I don't know if I'd really discuss my beliefs with that, but I would certainly want to spend more time with my family. That's what's important to me, and they share a lot of the same interests, so maybe we could all go to the mountains together.
Do it together. Okay, so when you said you don't want to talk about spiritual beliefs with me,
mm-hmm.
How come?
It's just something I think I keep to myself.
Okay, why?
Just a personal preference.
Okay. Do you have any spiritual beliefs?
Well, I used to be a devout Catholic, not so much anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's not so much.
Not so much anymore. I guess I just found some holes in the theory there that I...
What was the big hole that you discovered?
The big hole that I discovered? I just feel like organized religion, as far as I'm concerned, kind of, I didn't think I'd have to discuss this today. I just feel like everybody has their own way of worshiping or finding faith or whatever the case may be, and doing it with other people as far as like in an organized religion, as far as the Catholic sense goes, was just not right for me.
I want to try to translate what I think you just said.
Okay.
And you're a chemistry guy, and I think this is kind of surprising to hear you say this, is that as an individual, I can decide what is right when it comes to religious things or spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
So the human being determines what is right? Is that what you're saying?
I think that's accurate, yeah.
Is that accurate with chemistry?
Well, I think that it's an empirical science, but we don't really understand all of it, so everything that's kind of been determined is based on human
what
belief.
What is right and what is wrong.
What is right and what is wrong as far as this goes,
okay.
Yeah.
So if religion is in a sense empirical, not that perhaps it's, well, perhaps it's testable, perhaps mm-hmm. it's not. But can I simply decide what religion is right and it is therefore correct?
Absolutely not. I believe that everyone has their own beliefs as far as their,
but
as
some
far
people
as religion.
Can be wrong.
Absolutely.
Okay, good for
and
you.
I think that there's no reason why anybody should come down on somebody else's beliefs.
by any means whatsoever. Yeah. You believe in what you...
Define come down on somebody.
Okay, come down on somebody? Well, just tell them that they're wrong for believing what they believe in.
That's okay.
I don't think that's okay at all.
Oh, it's not okay?
No, it's not okay.
But what if they are wrong?
There's no way of knowing that, for sure.
And why is that offensive?
Why is it offensive?
Let's say, for instance, Bob, I found a way, and I'm convinced it's right, and I'm convinced it's good. So, Bob, the path that you're on, it's wrong. There's a better path here.
Well, I would listen.
Why is it a bad thing?
I don't think it's a bad thing, because I've listened to what you had to say, and I'm open-minded as far as that goes. But I'd still have to formulate my own opinions
Absolutely.
In the end. And
Absolutely.
You have to, and you have to be allowed to hold that opinion
Absolutely.
And live by
Absolutely.
It.
So maybe come down would be, I can't force you, or I shouldn't drag you off the street and take you to a cult someplace.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly not.
Or torture you and make you give a confession of faith that you really don't believe.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it would be stupid for someone to give a confession to of a faith or to a faith that they didn't believe in, because...
Right, I agree. It wouldn't be genuine.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be coerced. I couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm.
So if 30 days comes, your clock runs out of time, what do you think's going to happen to you?
What do I think's going to happen? You know, I've thought about that before, and I really don't know. I mean, some might say, oh, you're going to go to heaven, and some might say, oh, you're going to go to hell. I don't know if any of that really happens, you know?
Right.
I don't think that I'm ever really going to know. I'm certainly going to find out, you know?
Let's just say...
Death is inevitable.
Let's say there is a heaven and there is a hell. Who goes to heaven? Who goes to hell? Good people, bad people, right? Isn't
well,
that pretty
that's
much the standard?
That's the standard definition, yeah.
Right. If that's so, which one do you think you'd go to? Are you a good person?
I'd like to think that I'm a good person.
How do you know?
You don't know.
What if there's an objective standard that would help you measure whether you're good or not?
An objective standard. That's interesting.
For instance, the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that was the law that God, if there is one, gave, and we're supposed to follow those laws. Then we'd have a pretty good idea of what the judge is going to do with us, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that the Ten Commandments are just kind of standards to live by regardless. I mean, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal. I mean, that stuff makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It's certainly things
that
I live by, whether I live by them because they're the Ten Commandments in a religious background, or it's just the way that I live my life.
Yeah. If those are God's rules, have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Certainly I've tried, but I've broken them.
Like the rest of us?
Absolutely.
Right? For instance, how many lies do you think you've told?
A lot.
Okay, how many things you said stealing? Say murder?
No, I've never murdered.
Never
really stolen either.
No.
I've lied.
Taking God's name in vain?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Dishonored your mom and dad by not doing what you were told?
Mm-hmm.
What about sexual desires? That's another one that falls under.
Yeah, premarital sex.
Adultery, the whole deal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, no adultery, but...
Well... But the Bible says, which is where the Ten Commandments come from, that if you just look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. You don't
mm-hmm.
have to commit the act.
Yeah, well, then in that case...
Yes, so adultery and fornication,
mm-hmm.
to boot. Okay, so if God exists and he judged you by that standard...
Then I would certainly not be going to heaven.
You'd be guilty.
Unless my sins were forgiven.
Somehow. Okay, so how could that work?
Well, I guess I would have to be following in that religion...
Yeah, well, following the religion, I guess, depending on how you define that. But you'd have to have somebody to pay your fine for you,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if you've accumulated a debt, somebody
right.
would have to pay it for you, and then you'd be free to go. Well, you're a Catholic. What did they teach you about that?
Jesus.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's paid the fine for us, died for our sins.
If you'll repent and put your trust
Absolutely.
In him. Not talk to a man in a box,
and, mm-hmm.
but repent and put your trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
So why have you rejected that?
Why have I rejected it? I just... Because I don't really know if I believe in heaven and hell.
Yeah. Do you have a conscience, though, don't you?
Oh, I do have a conscience.
And it screams, I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of think that's God's warning system to say, you know better. And
mm-hmm.
it's a gift that God has given us so that we can know that how he's going to deal with us on Judgment Day. And I think, too, Bob, another way to know that we were created, you look at that statue that's in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd never believe that thing evolved. Somebody built it. We don't know who the artist is, but we know there was one, and there's a bunch of guys who put the thing together.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there's a creator because look at this amazing creation around us.
Absolutely.
And so that's God's way of saying, Bob, I exist. Bob, I've given you a conscience. I'm going to deal with you on Judgment Day. Bob, you've been warned.
Mm-hmm.
How come you're rejecting those signals?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I just think that, well, you know, I don't want to sound like I believe in some kind of, like, pagan religion or anything, because I don't. But, you know, I believe in the mountains, and I believe in the things that I see around me, and it's hard to have faith in something that you don't see, but I do certainly feel something more than the materialistic things that we're looking at around us.
I know
us.
That this is going to be really silly, all right? I'm closing my eyes. You still exist. Mm-hmm. I can't see you, but I know you're like,
yeah.
I can hear you. I can still smell the smoke from your cigarette. Mm-hmm. I know you're there. I don't have to see something to know that it exists. I could actually see the results or the consequences of that individual's work and know that he exists. And that's what this earth is. Mm-hmm. It's the result of his work so that you can know for a fact beyond the shadow of a doubt that he exists. Hey, man, thanks for the chat today. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It very much.
Absolutely. Anytime.
And, young man, stop smoking.
It is no good for you.
You will have only 30 days left for sure. See you, dude. Thanks very much. Yeah. Okay. Remember, he didn't want to talk about spiritual things. And this is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Higgs. Well, a movement to protect unborn babies from abortions at the city level is spreading across the country. Earlier this week, the City Council of Lebanon, Ohio, became the first in the state and the 29th in the country to pass an enforceable ordinance outlawing abortion within its city limits. The Sanctuary for the Unborn ordinance recognizes that unborn babies are valuable humans who deserve to be protected under the law, and it prohibits abortions in the city limits and outlines legal consequences for abortionists who abort unborn babies. And to date, 28 other cities in Texas and Nebraska have voted to ban abortions within city limits, and more cities in Nebraska, Florida, Tennessee, Missouri, and Arkansas have also expressed interest in doing the same. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey has signed a pro-life bill to stop infanticide that would require appropriate medical care and treatment for babies who survive abortions. The new legislation was inspired by a woman named Gianna Jessen, who survived an abortion attempt on her life. Gianna's law was passed by a strong majority, 76-12, earlier this month, and the Senate followed suit with its own approval. Alabama lawmakers banned all abortions in the state in 2019, but federal courts struck down the law as unconstitutional because, of course, it did. But national polling shows Americans, including those people who say they're pro-choice on abortion, oppose abortions up to birth and infanticide. But our leaders want us to believe something different. Last year, in 2020, the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination in the country, lost almost 400,000 members as several black leaders quit the SBC when it issued a statement condemning critical race theory. More black pastors and their congregations are expected to break connections with the denomination as a result of this controversy. Next month, the SBC's annual conference will take place, and the topic is heavily anticipated to be revisited. The SBC's membership reached a high of 16.3 million in 2006, but has subsequently dropped by roughly 2 million. Well, support for Israel has fallen significantly in the past 3 years among young evangelicals, according to a new survey that gauged attitudes about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The poll of 700 evangelical Christians between the ages of 18 and 29 found that 33.6% side with Israel, 24.3% with the Palestinians, and 42.2% with neither side. In 2018, a separate survey showed a majority support for Israel among young evangelicals, with 69% backing Israel and 5.6% backing the Palestinians and 25.7% saying they didn't favor either side. And this is just another real-life example of how failing to teach proper history to young people is fleshing itself out in our culture. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions, focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is the secret to evangelism in the shoes? This is Wretched Radio. Oh, can you hear that? Oh, can you hear that? This is so cool. This is Mars Hill, baby. I happen to be out in the streets today, hitting the streets of a university campus. All right, fine. Everybody's tattled on me so far. It's at Georgia Tech. Happens to be in Georgia, which I think is, well, you know, one of those amazing coincidences. The campus is called Georgia Tech, and here it is in Georgia. Imagine. And I'm trying to find a place where I just feel really, really comfortable so that I get rid of all those distractions, all those eliminations, like the new teenage driver who is freaked out by everything. He can't quite get it all under control and is wigged out and nervous. So it is if you go out to do some witnessing, to do some open-air preaching, and you're not comfortable. So I think it's just a good idea to do a reconnaissance mission and find a place where you're just familiar with where the parking is. I think I know where my car is now. I lost it. And you know where you won't get arrested. So it is you're joining me on my little Georgia Tech tour, witnessing to people, challenging some young people on their beliefs. Love the table across the sidewalk from me that's handing out prophylactic devices. Gotta ask yourself the question, why would kids put so much effort into that? What sort of philosophy of life do they possess to say, I want to help human beings by passing out these devices? They're probably not, I'm not their judge, but they're probably not Christians. What got them out of bed today to say, hey, come on, let's get that poster made. Let's go pick up the devices and let's put them out and hand them out to people. What would drive that? Oh, yeah. The flesh. And so it is. We've been chatting with kids. We've been challenging them. And we've been witnessing to some people. Now, hopefully this doesn't sound like bragging, but I'm wearing some pretty groovy shoes today. Look, they were on sale. They fit. They're even comfortable. But they're kind of urban looking. So after what I'm going to try to do after I witness to the next person is I want them to look at my super, hopefully they think that they're super cool shoes, and I want to see if that makes a difference. Let's just see if after witnessing to somebody, and they most likely just reject it, if I can point them to my shoes and say, but look at my shoes. Look at how hip and relevant they are. Now do you believe what I'm saying? And watch them just fall to their knees in repentance and faith. I doubt it. It's not about the clothing. It's not about how relevant you are. It's not about how cool you are. Besides, not everybody agrees on what is cool. And so it is with these evangelism efforts that try to tell you that you have to look a certain way in order for people to accept what you hear, and then we slap 1 Corinthians 9 on it and sanctify it somehow. People will hear if it's truth, and perhaps more important, they will be worked on by the word through the working of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, what we have to say, this makes the world laugh. It's our little, we've got a couple of secret weapons in Christianity. One is prayer. We get to pray for people. We've got God on our side. We're on his side. We also have the word, the two-edged sword. So it doesn't matter if you're groovy or cool or hip or not. The question is God working through his word to convict the human heart? And we go with that as our confidence, not how groovy our shoes are. In fact, let's do a test right now. I want to see if my... my little theory is correct. I'm going to try to catch up. Great, now it's exercise to this young man. Hey, dude, while you're walking, I want to ask you a question. All right? All right, what's your first name?
Derek.
Derek, nice to meet you. All right, Derek, if I were trying to convince you of something and you disagreed with it, all right, mm-hmm. You just said, dude, don't believe what you have to say, would you be inclined to suddenly believe and agree with me if you thought that I was really hip and relevant looking in my stylish fashions?
Depends on what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say this. Let's say I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. Are you a Christian by any chance?
No, I am not.
Perfect. This works out great then. I'm a Christian, and I think you should be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with me?
No.
Okay. Look at my shoes, dude.
Mm-hmm.
These are pretty cool shoes.
Mm.
Yeah? So now would you be more inclined to believe in Jesus because of my cool shoes?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't
very
think...
hip and relevant.
Because I don't think it is.
You don't think what? The shoes are cool?
Yeah.
What if they were cool? Would you then believe in Jesus?
Mm-mm.
No. So it really wouldn't matter what I look like. The question is, what am I saying? Isn't that kind of a bigger
yes.
issue? All right. Cool. Thank you very much. Now, I've got to ask you, though, because I am curious, because I am a Christian. Why aren't you?
I am Jewish. I've
That'd
been
be one reason.
Yes. I have been raised that way, and I feel strongly towards that religion. That's
Are you a practicing Jew?
Yes.
Wow, I have to tell you, there's few of you, it seems, these days. A lot of people who are Jewish in name only. Mm-hmm. So, as a Jewish man, mm-hmm. who do you think God is?
I believe that he is not very describable. It's really difficult to describe him because...
Do you know him?
No. I wouldn't say that I personally know him.
Do you pray?
Yeah. Yes.
So do you think you're talking directly to God?
When I do, I feel like I am praying for something for him to do.
Right.
Yes.
But when you're kind of like talking in your brain.
Yes.
Who are you talking to?
Just an overall seeing force, I believe. That's just...
All right. But you don't think you know him even though you talk to him?
Yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. And do you read the Torah?
When I get the chances. Not okay. Very often.
So from reading that, don't you know him from reading that? Sort of.
Sort of, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Do you believe the stories in the Bible are true? Literally, you know, like Jonah and the whale, Moses, the Red Sea.
I see. I feel like there is some truth to those.
Turn this over. The sun's hitting you in the eyes. Here, turn it like this.
Right. Sure.
I won't kill you. I got sunglasses.
Yeah.
I'll put them on.
I feel that there is some truth to them, but then there's also a sense of embellishment to them as well.
Mm-hmm.
It
little poetry tossed in.
Yes,
perhaps.
Exactly.
So as a Jewish man, mm-hmm. Quit walking away from me, man. Where do you think you're going to go when you die? What happens to a Jew when they die?
I believe personally that we go to this sense of purgatory where we have to atone for our sins.
That's Roman Catholic, dude. Isn't it?
I don't know. But
okay, so I got another question.
There is a belief that there is that we are sent to this air for about a year to decide whether we are to go to heaven or not.
Who makes that decision?
I don't know.
God?
God, yourself.
Well, why wouldn't you go to heaven? I mean, really? Who would say, I think after all of this, I want to go to hell.
Well, no. You'd be atoning for your sins.
Oh, so you've got to make up for your sins.
Yeah.
What do you do with the sacrificial system of the Bible? You know all those lambs being sacrificed for the covering of sins, Yom Kippur? Don't you think that takes care of it?
I don't believe there was any sort of sacrificial kind of...
Oh, dude. Oh, it's loaded. The whole book of Leviticus. Whole thing. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, is what Leviticus 17 says. So blood needed to be shed for the covering, for the katar of sins. That's what Yom Kippur is about, the Day of Atonement. That's what Passover was about. Remember Moses? Blood
that,
on the lamppost?
That was the lamb? Something else.
It was, but it was about blood being shed so that God would pass over
I don't have any
them.
More time.
All right,
I,
see ya. All right, yeah, got to do what you got to do. All righty. Dude, but the shoes.
Thank you.
All right, goodbye. that was kind of fascinating, in a way. I wish you could see the kid's face. I didn't even witness to him about Jesus, but it seems these days, if you just press people on their religious beliefs, they have a tendency to wince and to I don't like what you're talking about. I don't like where you're going with this whole deal. And I think that happens a lot these days. Anytime you challenge people on their thinking because they have created an idolatrous system that they are more than happy to live by because, well, it lets them live however they want to, you bring up anything that challenges that. And I got to tell you, you are going to get yourself a kid like Derek who just walks away from you despite the fact that I am wearing super cool groovy shoes. You know, I don't think his shoes were cool, so I don't believe anything that he was saying. How stupid does that sound? How dumb is that? He's got, what is it by, you know, those the shoes that are big that he was wearing? They're those Converse shoes. I think I've seen those go in and out of fashion like 3 times in my life. And have you seen how much they cost? Unbelievable. Those used to be the like crummy shoes. We upgraded from those shoes, but now because everything's a trend, we've gone back to crummy shoes. They don't even have an arch in them. My shoes have an arch in them. So therefore, I think I'm far more relevant. Todd, if you stay on this, we're turning the radio station. All right, fine. From the streets of Georgia at the university on Wretched Radio.
What does a young lady experiencing a crisis pregnancy sound like?
I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Everybody wanted me to have an abortion.
Everybody wanted her to have an abortion, but she visited a preborn life center, saw a free ultrasound of her baby.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
80% of the time, a woman in crisis sees an image of her child via a free ultrasound at a preborn center, they choose life. How many lives could you save per month? The answer is double. During the month of May, Preborn has received a generous gift of matching grants. Every dollar you give to Preborn will be matched. So $28 for an ultrasound will now provide 2 ultrasounds. How many lives could you save? Visit preborn.org/wretched.
Did you know Wretched has a brand new Bible study curriculum? Tell the truth, you didn't know. But now you do because I just told you. And listen, this Bible study curriculum is not like any that you ever encountered. The new Wretched Bible studies are interesting. They're relevant. And of course, if they're coming from Wretched, you know they're biblical. They're based on our resources, Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Herman Who, Jesus Unmasked, Stressed Out, It's Not Greek to Me, and Road Trip to Truth. You're going to find something that's perfect for your youth group, your adult small group, and even your own personal study at home. So if you're tired of the same old, boring, wretched Bible studies, then get yourself a Wretched Bible Study. Check all of them out right now by visiting wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. I promise you're going to be pleased and you're going to wonder to yourself, why in the world did they not do this sooner? wretched.org/study.
Yes, you want to save money because after all, you're a Christian and that's what we want to do, save money, but never at the expense of our family's health and peace of mind should a family member fall ill. That is why I'd like to commend you, MediShare, the gold standard of healthcare sharing. You will save, on average, $500 per month as a family. How much will you save? It takes 2 minutes. 844-34-BIBLE. And if you think, well, this isn't very good, you get free telehealth services with MediShare, a huge network of doctors with MediShare, and great customer support. And fellow Christians will pray for you. MediShare, 400,000 members strong. Peace of mind and savings. Simply call 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Important dates in Christian history. 1545, the Council of Trent opens. Called by the Roman Catholic Church in response to the Reformation, it addressed abuses in the Catholic Church and further entrenched dogmas concerning the authority of the Pope, the need for works in salvation, and the saving nature of the Mass. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dude, I want to ask you a quick question on the radio. What do you think? What do you think of my shoes? Are my shoes cool and hip?
They're a little pointy.
So you don't, but aren't they cool?
I mean, I guess they're fashionable.
They are fashionable, right. So I'm kind of hip and I'm in.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it very much. Where are you headed, by the way?
I'm going to my fraternity house to get some lunch.
Can I walk with you and talk with you on the radio?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, won't take up any of your time. All right, so, dude, what do you think is going to happen to you when you die?
When I die?
Yeah.
Well, I hope I go to heaven.
Yeah? Why do you hope that? Must be a good place.
I mean, it's got to be better than hell, right?
Well, if the rumors are accurate, right. Yeah, I would think so. Why do you think somebody gets to heaven?
Just being a good person.
Are you a good person?
I try to be.
Yeah? But you're not a perfectly good person?
No.
So that means you're not going to heaven?
It's perfect, actually. Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
So how perfect do you need to be, or how good do you need to be to get there?
I guess as good as you can.
All right. So effort is what gets judged.
Yeah.
Ah. So same as long as I try really hard, I'm good to go. Have you been pure your whole life?
Well, pure in what respect?
Sexually pure.
No.
No?
No, I haven't. Oh.
Have you tried to be pure?
Not so much. For a while, I did, actually. Yeah, alrighty. I did for a while.
Okay. Well, let's see. What other ways could we judge whether you're good to go to heaven or not?
Okay.
Ten Commandments? Would that do the trick?
Yeah.
Okay. So sexually, not so pure.
No.
Okay. Lying? How many lies do you think you've told?
I mean, I don't know. I guess I've never really counted.
But you've told them?
Yeah.
Alrighty. So not so pure there?
No.
Alright. Stolen anything?
No.
Ever?
Nope.
Even as a kid?
Even
Mom
as a kid.
Mom and Dad? What about from an employer downloading music? Anything like that?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, okay. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? That's one of the commandments.
No, I try not to.
Have you?
I mean, maybe, like, unconsciously.
Okay, but you've done it.
I guess so.
Consciously or not, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So there's, what, 4 commandments? You're sexually impure, you blaspheme God's name, you've lied, dishonored your mom and dad. So are you going to heaven?
Well, no, I guess there's 6 more.
All right, let's give it a go. Have you ever coveted, desired something that didn't belong to you?
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay. Has God always been first in your life?
Yes, actually, yes.
Really? So while you were fornicating, God was first in your life?
Oh, man, you're not making me feel too good right
now. Sorry, dude. So not really.
Well, I guess when you put it like that, yeah.
Right, well, that's kind of what sin indicates, that God really isn't first in your life. You're loving yourself more than him, or you're loving pleasure more than him.
Right.
Fair enough. Okay.
I do go to confession. I, like, you know, I pray every night and, you know, ask for forgiveness for my sins, because I know, you know, those things aren't right.
Right. So why would God forgive your sins? In fact, why would you even need to pray to have your sins forgiven if only good people go to heaven?
I don't know, good question. I guess everyone deserves, like, you know, a second chance.
Well, not necessarily. It doesn't work that way in the court system. It doesn't work that way judicially. If you break the law, you're a lawbreaker.
Well, those are secular laws, you know?
True, but I think the principle still exists. If God is just and he judges people and you're guilty, well, then you're a lawbreaker, and the just punishment wouldn't be to take people to heaven at all.
Well, then why have confession? Why ask for forgiveness?
I think that's a great question, because it sounds to me... What's your first name?
I'm Greg.
Greg. It sounds to me like maybe something's missing in your theological picture here.
Okay.
I agree with you. I think we should pray to God and ask him to forgive us of our sins. But if God just forgave our sins just 'cause, there's a problem with that. He wouldn't be just. Imagine a judge who had a criminal in front of him, and the criminal said, "Judge, I'm sorry." And the judge said, "Okay, you're forgiven. You don't have to go to jail." Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be just at all. But if somebody stepped into the courtroom and paid the criminal's fine, and it was applied to the criminal's account, then the judge could justly say, "Sir, you are free to go because justice is being upheld because your fine has been paid for you." Then, if you plead for mercy from the judge, then the judge can let you go, and he can be forgiving and just at the same time.
Okay.
It's apparently you're Roman Catholic, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know what they teach you there, but what the Bible says is that Jesus Christ paid your fine.
Right.
When he died on the cross, that's what that was all about. He knew that Greg was going to be a sinner, right, and he died for him anyway, so that his goodness could be given to you and your badness can be put on him. And so the Bible says if you will throw yourself at the mercy of the judge, he can forgive you if you'll repent, which means to apologize, to turn from your sins, mm-hmm, stop sinning, and put your trust in Jesus. Then a legal exchange can take place. Greg's bad on Jesus, Jesus' goodness to Greg, all sins forgiven, past, present, and future, no indulgences, no confessions to a man in a box, directly to God himself. And he says, "Then I will forgive you and I'll make you my child, and I'm going to change your heart and I'm going to change your desires and make you a new creature, and you'll be mine, and I'll take you to heaven, not because you're a good guy who's been trying hard, but because you're a bad guy who's failed but has been forgiven by me because of the goodness of my son."
Okay. I like that, yeah.
It's a way better deal because it's grace, free and clear, so that God gets the credit and you don't. Because if you could do good, then everybody would go, well, Greg did a pretty good job of getting to heaven, and it would rob God of his glory. But God went to the length of sending his son to be punished and beaten for you so that he could get all the glory for being so kind. And we should repent and put our trust in him, not because we're afraid of hell, which is fair and right, but because he's been so kind to save us from hell. It's about the goodness of God that should lead us to repentance. The Bible talks about being born again, not being baptized or not being confirmed into a faith. But when you die to yourself and when you throw yourself at the mercy of the judge and say, I am done with me, I'm sorry, forgive me, have mercy on me, change me, fix me, save me, and you put your trust in Jesus, the Bible says then he will make you alive. He will make you born again, which is what the Bible talks about.
Sure.
All right, so, Greg, has that happened to you? Have you been born again?
Well, way back, I guess I was, but I've definitely veered off from that since coming to college.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That happens a lot, but what the Bible says, if you veer off and you're living in sin, you know, the girls, the other stuff that goes with, and what it shows is that you were never really saved in the first place. Because when God saves somebody, it's usually radical.
Right.
And your desires change. And all of a sudden, it's not that we're suddenly perfect, but it's just we hate those things that killed our Savior. We hate doing those things that we know displeases God. And so if you're living a life that doesn't indicate you're really a Christian, it'd be like me saying, I'm a member of PETA, but I eat prime rib every Friday night. You'd go, well, you're a phony.
Yeah.
So if you're not living like a Christian, it's probably because you're not one. And the way to be saved, it's a pretty simple formula, but it's hard to do. You got to think about your sins. I could put a computer chip on the back of your ear and recorded every thought for a week and then pulled all your buddies from the condom table and from around the campus and put the computer chip in a computer and showed your thought life.
Ugh.
You know, that would just make me slink away in shame.
Okay? Right.
God sees that and he knows that. And we should be ashamed, and it should scare us to think, I'm going to have to deal with God someday. And then when you're scared, you think about Jesus dying for you, and it'll break your heart. He did that for me when I was acting like that. And you repent, and you put your trust in Jesus Christ, and he'll save you, and you'll know it, and you won't backslide again.
Right.
So something to think about today?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, man.
Good start to the morning.
Well, here's the question. What are you going to do with this information? I mean, I'm not going to take you off in a paddy wagon or anything, but what are you going to do with this?
Well, yeah, I'll definitely look back and what I've done. Definitely go to church some more.
It's not going to help you. That's backwards. See, if you're trying to go to church to please God, you miss the step of getting saved by God, and then you desire to be with other people that are like you, and you can desire to go to a place to hear his word, because now you love his word all of a sudden. So if you're trying to do things to please God, you're going down the road of work righteousness and self-righteousness. The gospel is, I will save you and change you. I'll do it all, because you can't do anything for yourself. So what you need to do is you need to repent and put your trust in Jesus. You don't need to visit anybody. You don't need to go to a church. While you're walking here, I'd be thinking about these things really seriously and deal with it. And either it would be so much better to just go, you know what, I don't believe any of it. I reject all of it. But don't just walk on in life and go, well, it doesn't really matter. All roads lead to God. I'm pretty good to go. Not an option. Either reject it or submit to it. But don't just play in the gray area. Okay?
Seriously, yeah.
All right? You're a nice young man. Thanks for the chat.
Thank you.
Here, I'm going to give you $1 million. Here, right there. And there's our website address, too, on there.
All right? Cool.
Hey, see you, young man.
Have a good day.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
See ya. We are at Georgia Tech is where we are. And we just had a chat, if you just joined us, with a young man named Greg who has a Roman Catholic background. Out of the blue. Let me describe the kid for you. He had black glasses on and a short, really, really short haircut. Looks like he might have been a jock, maybe a football player. And most likely, if you had judged that book by its cover, you would have gone, young kid, probably not interested in spiritual things. It's just not true. You just don't know what's going on. Don't be inclined to determine with your human observation who is open to the gospel and who isn't. Now, if you see somebody walking down the street with a brown bag in their hand, you know, muttering epithets, well, you might want to avoid them. But otherwise, just find somebody and witness to them. And until next time, go serve your King.